Hi, it's David from the Dead Daisies, and you're watching CMS TV.
Watch it
on TV.
Welcome to Monday, everybody. Nobody will be watching today. Thank you very much, because there's an eclipse and everybody's either on the road stuck in traffic, or they're heading down to watch the Guardians play, or watching those at home.
Yeah, well, they can watch it on replay, I guess.
It's the eclipse day and home opener day, and there you go.
And nobody on the Seth show today.
yeah.
That's all right. So yeah, I watched on TV.
Yeah, I actually did it outside. Why'd you watch on TV, dude?
I couldn't be bothered with that.
Come on.
I couldn't be bothered. I don't care. It's funny. I was on the phone with my daughter, and she was sitting out on her porch watching it. She was all excited about it.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered with this stuff. Who cares? I saw it 5 years ago or whatever it was. Big deal.
Well, it wasn't a total eclipse.
Of my heart, it was.
There's not going to be another one of these in like 2317.
Yeah, I'm not going to see that either.
It 4 years ago.
Yeah, you know what? I'll watch it all night tonight on the news. It's just as good.
Look, I will say this, and I was a big anti-eclipse guy when I was sitting there saying, dude, this thing stupid, sucks, who cares?
Right.
And yet, my wife bought the glasses for all of us, and I went outside. Oh, is this him?
Hello.
Oh, this thing's on, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Fucking comment coming in. And so I went outside, and I was thinking, all right, this is going to be kind of stupid. I looked up with the glasses, and I saw, like, the moon kind of going across it a little bit.
Okay.
And I was, like, halfway through. I was like, this isn't going to be all that cool. So I sat down in my car and just waited till it was supposed to be totality, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And I went out into the garage or outside the garage, and all of a sudden, dude, it was like dark. It was dark as night. I could see stars in the sky, and then there was like a halo around the moon, which was like super cool to look at. Yeah. And it was pretty sweet for all about 4 minutes. And then it was over and the sun came back out. I mean, honestly, like, it lasted longer than my sex life. Let's just say that. But it still wasn't very long.
Right.
So it was done and that was it. And I did go inside. My dog was a little bit freaked out.
Okay.
She was, you know, like she was sitting on the stairs and would not come off the stairs. She just would not leave. Even when I was like, come here. Presley, come here. And nothing. Just sat there.
Right.
She was a little bit freaked out by what was going on. But other than that, I mean, it was cool. But now it's over.
Yeah, now it's sunny again. Big deal.
I don't necessarily know if I think it's like cool enough to have like an entire day of festivities and festivals and music. And
well, I'm going to tell you. There is a reason I watched it on TV.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the TV coverage.
Yeah.
The TV coverage was ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous. First of all, I was watching, and I got to give credit to where credit is due. CBS News is what I was watching on Pluto TV. I clicked on the first one that said Eclipse. And they were all for it. Like, even the CBS logo, they had every, like, 30 seconds being eclipsed by, like, a shadow. So, you know, they had the little logo on the bottom, and it was eclipsed by a shadow. So, I'm watching the news coverage. There are people. One place they went was, it looked like they were at the racetrack at the Indy 500.
Okay.
They had people sitting in the stands cheering and whooping it up. And I was like, are you guys serious? You're cheering for weather?
Yeah.
They were like, as it got darker, they're like, yeah, yeah, dark. I was like, are you kidding me?
I'll be honest. People around here started lighting fireworks off.
Yeah, I heard them here, too. I heard it like craziness.
Now, there were some. Seriously, is anybody actually watching the show, or should we just go home and pack it up?
There's like 19 people on Rumble.
Okay, there's not a comment. Nobody that usually listens to the show is watching the show today. But that's fine. It was only kind of cool because when I got home, it was so bright and sunny outside. And then in like a half hour, the lights in the neighborhood went on. Like my garage light automatically went on. The street lights went on. And that was cool to see. Like at 3:15 in the afternoon, shit was going on. And so I guess it was, to me, it was better than expected, but still, you know.
Yeah.
There's porn watching sessions that have lasted a lot longer than this.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the reason nobody was on was because I forgot to add Rumble. I apologize. We're on there now.
Oh.
We're on there now.
Well, that helps.
Yeah, that would help if I hooked it up Rumble, wouldn't it?
We're going to start the whole show all over again.
Well, they haven't missed anything because nothing's happened other than going past.
Hang on. I hit the wrong button.
This what are you trying to hit? And all that's beyond, and everything under the sun is in June, and the sun is a quick spot on you.
The eclipse is cool. Lasted longer than my porn.
So again, I'm watching CBS News.
Yeah.
And there's people cheering. Then they go to this one reporter lady, and she is crying, weeping tears. And they go to her. They're like, Emily, what's going on over there? And she's like, this is so emotional. And I'm like, are you fucking with me with this? It's so emotional. It's moving. It's this. It's that. I'm like, oh my God. So they go through this whole emotional thing with Emily, and then they go back to the booth, and the booth, of course, is like, you know, I was feeling the emotion just watching you, Emily. I'm like, shut up. No, you weren't. So then they go, oh, hold on. I got to tell you some of this stuff. It's fucking ridiculous. So then they go live to another place. I think it might actually have been Cleveland. And they go live. And it's dark. It's like right when everything was happening.
Yeah.
And they go, they say, well, this is Monica and her kids, bop, bop, and bop. Three little kids, all under five, right?
Yeah.
They're pointing in the sky, looking at this thing, right?
Yeah.
No glasses, any of them. None of them. Not the kids, not the mom, not the reporter. They're all looking in the sky without the glasses. I'm like, you're going to blind these fucking kids, really? So if that wasn't enough, and this is all you need to know for the history of mankind about news coverage going forward. Then they go back to the studio, and in the studio they say, we're going to go to an expert now to talk more about this eclipse. Here's our solar expert, William Shatner. And pops up William Shatner to talk about the solar eclipse, you know, because he was the captain on Star Trek. I'm watching this and I'm like, who watches this shit? Who believes anything these people say is news? This is a legitimate news story. It's not politics where you can argue that it was being leaned one way or the other. It has nothing to do with politics, nothing. But yet the news can't just cover it. They have to go to their solar expert, William Shatner.
Yeah, I think that's kind of ridiculous. But again, it was cooler than I thought it was going to be. It just, you know, again, it's something I'll probably forget about within the next day or so. I mean, it's not like
of course, a
memory that lasts forever. But it was interesting just seeing, like I said, the halo around the moon was kind of cool. The, I guess, you know, watching it kind of move across, you kind of see it move. So it was interesting. Those glasses, though, man. There was one guy that I know that said he thinks it's a conspiracy that you have to wear the glasses to look up at the moon. He said he wasn't going to wear the glasses because he thinks it's a conspiracy to wear the glasses. So that guy is forever blind. I guess I don't feel real bad if you thought it was a conspiracy to wear the glasses. But, you know, it was better than expected, but still it's gone.
It's just, dude, the whole thing was
Sir Sulu.
I mean, it was it okay? Yeah, I guess. I mean,
you would have seen a different kind of balls move across the sun.
They'd have been dragging across the sky. Yeah, whatever. It is what it is. I'll tell you what it wasn't as exciting as last night's WrestleMania.
Okay. I am now becoming... I once was a fan of the WWF back in the day.
Okay.
With Junkyard Dog, Hulk Hogan was my guy, man. That was
sure.
Macho Man, all the cool, you know, Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
That was my era of wrestling back in the day.
Okay.
But after watching two nights of the main event of WrestleMania number 75,000.
Yeah, number 40. Number XL. 40,
it was fucking amazing. WWE knows how to put on a product and knows how to put on a show, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And between the effects and the buildup and the stories and everything else, it's very, very interesting and very cool. It's a movie to watch on a nonstop basis.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, I'm going to be honest. I go back and forth with WWE. I've hung in for a long time. I ducked out for a while. When AEW launched, I ducked out almost completely. I still kind of, like Hulu does like a 90-minute version of Raw, which is about what I need. I don't need the full 3 hours.
Right.
You know, because, you know, an hour of that's commercials anyway. So.
Yeah.
So an hour and a half is pretty perfect for me for Hulu. So I kept up with that, but I really kind of dove into AEW because, you know, it was new, it was upstart, it was different guys that I wasn't bored with, etc. And I was on that for a while. But in the last 6-8 months since Vince McMahon got caught shitting on the girl's head and they threw him out and Triple H has taken over the creative, it has gotten really good again.
Yeah, and dude, it was something last night.
That main event last night. Now let me even back up before we talk about the main event. I watched both nights. I quite honestly, Saturday, I watched so much wrestling, it should be outlawed how much wrestling I watched. I watched the NXT pay-per-view from noon to 3. Then I watched the Bray Wyatt documentary from like 3 to 5. Then from 5 to 7, I watched the pregame of WrestleMania. Then from 7 till like 11:30, I watched WrestleMania. Then at 11:30, I watched the two-hour AEW Collision. So I literally watched 12 straight hours of wrestling.
And that's kind of crazy. That's a little
on awesome. Saturday. And then 4 more yesterday, because the thing yesterday was 4 hours. And WrestleMania overall, it's still too long at two nights.
Two nights is crazy. But
two nights is a little long. I get why they did it that way, because they needed night one's finale to set up night two.
Yeah.
They probably could have done night one's finale as the open to night two and just done it in one night. That's neither here nor there. But it was a good, not great WrestleMania. But that last match is arguably the best match they've done in 25 years.
Now, I mean, it's not a spoiler to talk about it, right?
We can dude, it's out there now.
So, I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't really followed it all that much until, you know, started. You know, I learned a lot last night just by watching like the intro recap to like
the promos. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't real familiar with Cody Rhodes, and obviously Cody Rhodes, I didn't know was the son of
the Dusty
Rhodes, which is, you know, all time legend kind of guy.
Sure.
And then, you know, Roman Reigns, I've seen since he had cancer and everything. He's not lost anything. But it was a match between those two.
Right.
And for what? The Universal Championship?
Universal Championship.
They have like 18 belts, and I don't even know what all.
Well, there's two heavyweight belts. The one that is now held by Damian Priest, that was held for 33 seconds by Drew McIntyre. And then the Universal, and basically the way those are played out in WWE now is the one that Damian Priest won is kind of the working man's title, because that's where the full-timers go. The full-timers go for that belt. And Roman Reigns has held the other belt for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like 3 solid years, but he's not a full-time wrestler anymore. He's kind of a part-time guy, wrestles 4 or 5 times a year, you know.
It's just more of a storyline.
Yeah. Well, I think the story was so good that they just kept it going.
And it was good.
It was a good story.
But what happened last night, now, forgive me if I get any of this wrong, but it was a no rules match, so there's nothing illegal that could happen, whatever.
Correct.
And so first, I don't know who these guys were that came down to begin with.
The Usos.
Usos.
They Usos. Are... The like, Usos, like yeah. Uso Jay and I forget the other one. But the Usos are Roman Reigns' cousins. And right, so, the whole plot is called the Bloodline.
Right.
And what it is it's the whole family of The Rock, Roman Reigns, the Usos. They didn't have her in it, but Nia Jax. They're all like third generation wrestlers, and their bloodline goes all the way back to their dad was Jimmy and Jay. Yeah, their father was Rikishi back in the Attitude Era, and I think Rikishi's father was one of the head shrinkers back in the 70s and 80s era.
Yeah.
So this is like a long time family. So they built the plot is that the Bloodline had taken over WWE.
And The Rock is part of the Bloodline.
The Rock is part of the, he is one of them guys is his cousin or uncle or something. Yeah.
So Jay and whatever, they start
Jimmy and Jay.
The one guy comes down and starts trying to take out Cody Rhodes. The other one comes down and tries to take out Roman Reigns. They start wrestling on the ramp.
Yeah.
And then that shot that the one gave the other one was a hell of a shot.
Oh, yeah.
Speared him right off the ramp into the like the
into the production floor.
It was awesome.
That was a deep fall.
So then, you know, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns keep going at it. And then next thing you know, The Rock shows up. No, yes.
No, well, no, first,
Cena, first John Cena showed up.
Yeah, first John Cena showed up to help
Cody Rhodes.
To help Cody Rhodes. And then The Rock comes out to take out John Cena.
Which he does.
And that was pretty awesome.
That was awesome. Because I don't like John Cena and I love The Rock.
So then Seth Rollins came out back in his old Shield gear, which was the original tag team of him and Roman Reigns.
Half the audience is like, fuck this, but that's all right.
I don't care. It was great. So they came out and Roman just smashed Seth Rollins. Just smashed him.
Yeah.
So then, out of nowhere, who shows up? Lights go black.
And The Rock is standing there in the ring, though.
Yeah, Rock was still in the ring, yeah.
And all of a sudden, the lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
And all you hear is the bong.
Yeah.
Of The Undertaker coming out.
Which was crazy. Nobody.
He just appears on in the ring.
Yeah. And I mean, The Undertaker is very, very retired.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything anymore. Like, he does his podcast. He does not wrestle anymore.
And then he just picks up The Rock and chokeslams him to the mat.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
It was awesome. It really. And then the lights went off and then everybody was gone.
Yeah, everybody was gone from the ring. And then Cody Rhodes did his thing and won. But, and then I thought it was cool that even after the match, you know, when Cody Rhodes is, you know, doing his thing in the ring, like, everybody was kind of in the ring together, like, taking a bow, mm-hmm. and then he brought out Triple H, was cool. And they were talking. I don't know what was said, but it was pretty sweet. You know, it was cool.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to be honest. I'll give you some backstory that you don't know. That whole thing in the ring was 1,000% a dig at AEW, because AEW, a month or so ago, they had a big pay-per-view, and it was Sting's final match.
Yeah.
But they fucked it up and mistimed it. So Sting won the match, but then when they, you know, when they do the part where they do the interview stuff, that's like the emotional part that wrestling fans want to see.
Yeah.
They had mistimed it so bad that they ran out of time on the pay-per-view. So they couldn't do, so they showed none of the Sting talk to the crowd and say goodbye and all that stuff. Wow. So them, because I was like looking at, you know, and I watch this stuff like a mental patient, and I was watching it and I was like, wow, it's only like 10:15 and Cody's going to win this. And then Cody won, and it was like 10:20, and I was like, wow, they're leaving 40 minutes for him to talk. Either he's going to talk or something's going to happen, you know. And he talked for, what, about 20 minutes?
Yeah.
It was a long time.
You know, look, they hooked me last night. If you're not a wrestling fan, I mean, I get it. You know, my wife was like, oh, you know, it's all fixed. It's all, you know,
stable. So what?
Of course it is. But so is every fucking movie and every fucking TV show that you watch.
So is the NFL. Stop it.
But what this is a TV show with a storyline or many storylines that continues on and runs throughout the year, whatever it is, mm-hmm. runs nonstop. And then on top of it, these guys do, and women, do amazing shit with their bodies that a lot of people can't do.
Oh, yeah.
It takes talent to do what they're doing. You know, my wife's ex apparently went out for trying to be a wrestler, couldn't do it, whatever. And you know, so not a lot of people can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get it. We all know that it's fixed. And we all know that it's staged. We all know that it's a story. We understand that. But everything else you watch on TV is a storyline. Yeah. The stupid Bachelor, all your reality TV shows are still storylines.
Yeah. Nobody watches Casino and goes, he's not really a gangster.
Right. He didn't actually kill that guy.
Yeah.
How big is this bullshit?
Yeah, no one does that. But in wrestling, for some reason, and I get why. It's funny. I'm such a mental patient. I watched like the after show press conference and everything else. And Triple H was being interviewed in the after show press conference. And he said, you know, we know that this, what makes the product good is the blurring of real and fiction.
Yeah.
And man, if they didn't blur the real and the real with the fiction in that main event last night, I don't know what does.
Oh, they did great.
Cody Rhodes, that story is very real about his dad and trying to win the belt, and his dad never won a belt, and Cody was trying to win a belt, but his dad died before he could. That's all very real. But at the same time, all of a sudden we get the ghost of the Undertaker coming back to choke slam the final boss, The Rock. You know, it was like fresh out of the 90s. The only thing they missed on last night, and this is very nitpicky and it probably shouldn't even pick at it, they should have had Stone Cold come out.
I thought so too. I thought that would have been pretty cool.
That was the only thing that was really missing in the whole thing last night, was if Stone Cold would have come out and kicked The Rock or something, that would have made it great. Or if like The Rock went to run from Stone Cold and ran into The Undertaker or something, that would have been the best.
Yeah. Look, I'm an emotional bag of jello sometimes when it comes to like my childhood and thinking about stuff.
Sure.
I mean, if they would have dragged Hulk Hogan's old ass out there with the music song going, I probably would have been in tears watching the whole thing. It was just, you know, it's fun. It's fun to get, you know, emotionally involved in some of these things. It's just like every other TV show that you watch. I mean, how many morons sat there and watched how many seasons of The Sopranos thinking, hey, how great is this? And you know that he's not a real person.
Yeah.
It's just a dude playing a character. Mm-hmm. And that's what these guys are. But you know what? It's a lot more real than a lot of the TV shows you watch, because they actually have to do some shit that hurts.
Yeah. You
get busted through even a fake table. I hate to tell you.
Dude, I'm all in on wrestling. I've always been. And, dude, it's back. I mean, it's weird when you see the numbers that they're doing now. And I mean, the numbers, the TV numbers are not there, but the TV numbers aren't anywhere.
They had 72,000 plus
for two nights. Yeah. Plus
football stadium.
Plus they also had another 20,000 that showed up for the NXT pay-per-view on Saturday afternoon. Yeah. So they had the whole thing. So,
look, I'm super excited about our guest that's coming on right now.
I am too, and he's here already. That's fantastic. So let's do this. Let's play a little quick taste of the great music of the great Ricky Medlock, and we will come back and we will chat with Leonard Skinner and Blackfoot main man, I'll say, Mr. Ricky Medlock. So check it out. This is you guys know this song, so check it out, and we will be back with Ricky Medlock in just a minute. Hang tight. It is the Seth Williams Show. Remember when music was that good?
I do.
Well, we are super
now, but I'm excited about it now.
I'm telling you. Well, we are super excited to have from Leonard Skinner and of course Blackfoot, the one, the only, Mr. Ricky Medlock. Ricky, how are you, man?
Howdy, guys. How you doing?
Fantastic. Good.
Great to talk to you, man. And it's great to talk to you. I mean, we will get into some Skinner and some Blackfoot and stuff here in a minute, but let's start off with what you're doing now, which we will end with, actually. We'll play a little of your new single, Never Run Out of Road, but it's for a great cause. And I thought that before we get into anything, let's talk about the cause, because it is a great cause, and I figured maybe you should talk about it and talk about how you got involved with it.
Well, this started quite some time ago. For me, being part native, I'm not full native, of course, but I'm enough to where I'm about two thirds, maybe almost three quarters Native Indian. And you know what? I got involved in this from hearing about it, of course, from other natives, and got involved wanting to do a TV show.
Okay.
And wanted to actually got involved with some people from William Shatner's production company. And it looked like we were going to get a green light to do this thing.
Okay.
The funding and everything was coming through. And all of a sudden, not one network wanted to carry the show. Nothing.
Wow.
It was something that I felt what they wanted to swept under the rug. Okay. You know, and here's the thing. This has been going on for people that does not know this. This has been going on for decade after decades after decades. It's gotten to the point to really, to be honest with you, it's an epidemic.
Sure. Ricky, let me just cut you off just for a second. I just want to tell people what it is, because we kind of got into it without saying it. The what Ricky is referring to is the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women movement.
Yes.
Which is you know, obviously, as we're talking about, is an absolute crime against humanity, really.
Well, think about it in this way. If you think about, there's only actually maybe less than 10% of the American population is made up of Native people.
Right.
And think about this, out of that 10% of Native people, 40% of Native women have disappeared.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not only older women, it's older women, it's middle-aged women, it's young women, it's young girls, teenagers, even to the point, even some boys. So when you look at that and you think to yourself, well, you know, the everyday American person might think, well, why don't I ever hear about this? You know, well, the mainstream media honestly won't touch it. And that's a sad thing. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. for me, I wanted to be able to bring an awareness to this problem. And that TV show would have brought a big awareness to it, but got shut down. So
see, it's amazing that it does get shot down, though, especially even like it's surprising to me that a Netflix or even like a Tubi or somebody like that that's always looking for that kind of content would uh-huh. just pass completely.
Well, they did. So now maybe in the future, maybe things will ease up. Maybe things won't be as, you know, tight as we would like it not to be. Maybe it'll ease up and maybe I can get it done. But in the meantime, I wanted to bring an awareness to this. So I got this friend of mine that's in the band. His name is Mark Warple. And Mark, his parents were always involved. They had a store that was predominantly serving Native people in the upper part of Michigan, the UP section. And Mark was always into this Native thing. He plays Native flute. He's really just an incredibly talented guy. And he had a band. He's got a band. And I thought, hey, what better way that when Skinner's off the road that I could have something to do instead of sitting around doing virtually nothing, which it's not good for me to be bored. Trust me. you can ask my lovely lady. It's not good for me to get on the boring side. Anyway, I thought to myself, wow. I could do a band. I could inject myself into Mark's band and we could go out and do shows every once in a while. When Skinner's, you know, taking a hiatus and I'd have, you know, I could stay in music because that's where I want to stay anyway.
Right.
So called him up, said, hey, Mark, this is my idea. I gave him the idea. He said, I like it. let me call the band guys and see what they think. He called the band guys. They loved it. And year before last, in October of 22, we started rehearsals. Okay. Well, he came down to Florida. We wanted to put out new music. He came down to Florida to my studio there, and we sat and we listened to material and picked songs out. And we came across this song, Never Run Out of Road. Now, okay. I had co-written it already with Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke. Okay. And Mark did some changes in it, wrote some changes in it, stuff. So actually, it's with the three of us. So we took the song, we finished it off. And as we finished it, this guy, Scott Harold, who owns Rock the Cause Records, he came in and wanted to put the record out.
Okay.
Rock the Cause have done a lot of different artists, has donated to a lot of different charitable organizations. And he said, this is what I do. I put a record out. You pick the charitable organization that you want to donate to, and that's what we'll do. Boom. It hit me. Okay. The Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women Movement.
Okay.
At that point, I didn't know the most reputable one that I would like to go to. So what happened was, pardon me, I got a hold of my friend Gil Birmingham, who is the main, one of the main actors on Yellowstone. He plays the tribal chairman of the Cheyenne Indians.
Right.
And I told him what I was doing because they had a segment in the third season just about that situation.
Right.
So he said, let me call Taylor Sheridan because I know that Taylor donates to a certain organization. Let me call him and ask him. He called him. He called me back later on and said, Ricky, the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center is the one that he donates to. They highly recommend that. And there you go. And so I said, done. I'll do that one along with a couple of other ones. And if you go to my website, rickymedlock.com, there's links to click on for all three charities that's on there where the proceeds are going to. The National Indigenous Women's Resource Center is on there. Click on it. It'll tell you how to do it. Also, there's one on there called the Dreamcatchers Charitable Fund. That's another Native institution, you know, that I like to donate to.
Sure.
And also a thing about Save the North American Wolves. I'm big into animals, and that's another one that you can donate, you know, whatever you can to. But anyway, the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women thing is really my thing.
That's great.
That's pretty cool.
Well, Ricky, let's dig into a little Lynyrd Skynyrd, if you don't mind. Obviously, now you've become the elder statesman, I guess, in the band. Obviously, the biggest news was the unfortunate passing of Gary Rossington, you know, a year or so ago. And there was a lot of question if the band was going to continue. You know, there was definitely, at least on the fan side, there was a lot of question. I guess my question to you is, was there any question for you guys that are continuing on, and what led you guys to make the decision to keep going?
Well, the whole thing with Gary, had come down. Gary had started having serious heart issues. Man, it was tough to watch.
Sure.
And he finally came to Johnny and I in, you know, like in early 2022, actually toward the end of 2021, and expressed the fact that he probably wasn't going to be able to go out and keep up the same, you know, touring schedule.
Sure.
And we had even cut it back I will even backtrack to the point of 2018 when we did the farewell tour. What that was really about was a farewell to the long touring schedule that we would always do. Right. I mean, we had gotten used to doing 80 to 100 shows a year. Well, Gary just expressed that he just couldn't do it any longer. And so we thought about cutting it back to 30 shows, 35 shows, 40 maybe. Well, after the pandemic, which the pandemic, of course, you as you well know, really hit everybody just extremely hard.
Sure.
And what we did was it took us off the road for a year and a half. When we got the green light to go back on, we started out with a few shows. We were only going to do about, I think, 20, if I recall, 25 shows. Well, we played this one festival in Florida, and then we played a place for two nights in a row. And the first night, I could see that he was having problems.
Okay.
And it worried Johnny and I. On the second night, he was having serious problems. So he shut it down. I mean, he stopped.
Right.
Well, Johnny called me one day and said, hey, Gary has called me and said that he doesn't think that he can make it anymore. He said, do you know anybody that that you can think of that could probably come in and cover for Gary, because we've got all these shows to do and we got to do them or we're going to be just upside down. I said, I got one guy that I can think of who did the same thing in Alice Cooper, Thin Lizzy, any band he's ever been with, and his name is Damon Johnson.
Yeah.
And so I called Damon. Damon was stunned. He was really stunned that I had called him, but I knew Damon since the late 80s, early 90s, when he had Brother Kane.
Right.
He came in, and Gary, we had Gary's best wishes for that.
Okay.
Damon come in and just started off doing a great job. Gary would come out every once in a while and play when he felt like it. He would play Alabama and Freebird with us.
Sure.
Then it turned into the fact that he couldn't make it at all. So the last thing that he did with us, we did a CD, a DVD, Live at the Ryman, year before last.
Right.
And that was the last show that he played with us. Then we got the call.
Sure.
Not long after that Gary had passed. It's still kind of a raw spot with me.
Sure.
I've known the guy ever since we were teenagers and played all those years together and stuff. But before Gary had ever left this world, he had always expressed that he never wanted the band's, the brand name and the music to just kind of fade out after time. You know, and so when he passed away, Johnny and I talked to each other at length, and we said, you know what, let's do this, because, and I'll tell you one of the main factors that happened.
Okay.
One of the main factors that happened is that all the fans from all over the world reached out to us. And a lot of them said, please don't let this be the end of it. Because we every year see families with, you know, we see everybody from 8 to 80 comes out to see Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Sure.
And we're probably about, what, 4 to 5 generations deep in fans now.
Yeah. Well, and, Leonard Skinner is no longer a show. It's an event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it is. And so Johnny and I decided to keep it going, put it together, and make sure that it was as good or better than it ever was. And now when you come to see a Skinner show, people are just knocked out. They're like, wow, it's got a renewed energy. We're out killing it right now on this Sharp Dressed Simple Man tour and with ZZ Top
right,
and Blackstone Cherry. And you know what? We're just going to keep it rolling, because the way I look at it is this. I'm always going to stay in music. I'm never not going to play. If Keith Richards can do it, Ricky Medlock can do it. You know what I mean?
All right, so I love the 70s era music. I love that kind of music. And that's when I think rock and roll was actually rock and roll. And I think things are a lot different now. How different was the scene back in the 70s playing music compared to what it's like today playing music?
Do you want a good confession or a not so good confession?
I want them both.
Well, look, you know, in the 70s, man, everything was wide open, as you can imagine. I did my share of shenanigans. You know, I did my share of drinking a lot and doing all the other little added things that you do. Now, you know, and back then, what was really interesting about music is that I've got a saying that goes, every song that could be written had not been written yet. Right. Now, every song that could be written has been written. That's it. I mean, you know, it was such virgin territory when it came to music back then. And I feel like now, I mean, think about all the hit songs that are borrowed from that make up hit songs now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
How much sampling? I hear a ton of sampling when it comes to Skinner stuff and so many songs. And you're right.
Well, I'll give you a good example. He's a friend of ours. Yeah, Kid Rock. You got it. You just named it. And, I mean, had one of the biggest songs of his career, you know, out of two songs.
Right.
So, I think that...
is that something you guys allow? Is it you have to get permission to do something like that? Or they take it from you?
Show me the money.
but you know what, though, Ricky? You say that everything has been done, but at the same time... I'll argue it, and I'll give you an example, and you can tell me I'm wrong. But if your style is such, you can recreate yourself and stay within your style. And I'll point specifically to Red, White, and Blue, which was, I think most people think of that as newer Skinner. It's not the classic era Skinner. But it was great, and people loved it, and people look at it the same way as they do the original batch of classics because of the style.
Well, what I was getting at, and I'll agree with you in part, what I was getting at, originality. When you go to, you've only got seven chords when you go to writing, originality, you will nowadays, when you go to write, you'll hear another song within whatever you're writing.
Okay.
You understand what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. Because rock and roll is a basic, simple chord structure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of your music today, I mean, I can sit and listen to a lot of music and go, I hear such and such in this or such and such in that. You know what I mean? And that's what I was getting at.
Okay.
See, but I've always just admired the hell out of like you guys, and like I can only imagine. A rock star would be an absolute dream of mine, but I can't do it. But sitting on that stage playing Freebird with the lights out and the smoke in the air, and it's got to be like just the ultimate dream job, in my opinion. I don't know.
I will tell you, it's the ultimate high.
Yeah.
You know, there is no, and I'll tell you what I do, and I make it a point every night to stand at the front of the stage while we're playing whatever and look up in the audience and put it in my database in my brain so that I can recall it and remember it, you know, mm-hmm. because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like seeing 15, 20,000, 25,000 smiling people, mm-hmm. you know, and knowing that your music just makes them happier than they can be. You know
right
what I mean?
On. Right on. Ricky, before we let you go, and I know we got to wrap this up pretty quick, but I gotta go fanboy on you for a minute. You know, my favorite song that you've ever written with Blackfoot, with Leonard Skinner, solo, whatever, is one that's not necessarily one of the biggest songs in your catalog, but I play it 4 times a week still, 40 years later.
Wow.
The Seasons. I love that song. For people that don't know, look it up. It's on Skinner's First and Last. It's fantastic.
Right.
Tell me about that song, because that is, for one, I know it's heartfelt in some way to you, but tell me about that one.
Well, The Seasons, I wrote right before I got with Skinner the first time.
Right.
I was really into Neil Young. And at the time that I wrote it, probably, you know, Neil Young was influencing writing acoustic songs or, you know, whatever. And I wrote that song and I played it for Ronnie, Gary, and Alan one day, and they loved it. And Ronnie wanted to do it on the record, on the first and last, along with White Dove and some of the other songs that I wrote. So I've got pictures, actual pictures from that session where Gary is sitting in a closet with his Marshall amp in a closet so he could get the feedback, playing the lead to it. And it was a great experience. I think about it. And it's a beautiful song. And it was just influenced by back then about me being influenced by actually a lot of Neil Young and other acoustic players at the time.
Right on, man. Well, Ricky, you know, we're here to talk about Never Run Out of the Road. I figured we would end the interview with that one.
Yeah, man.
Tell us a little bit about the lyrics to this song and the writing of this song to wrap it up.
Well, the writing of it was my experience of being, you know, on the road. I mean, I'm I don't think I'll ever run out of road. You know what I mean? I love touring. I love playing music. I love entertaining. I'm going to entertain and play music, live music, for as long as the good Lord will let me be up there and play. You know, one of the greatest, and I say this all the time, one of the greatest interviews I ever heard was a young lady interviewing Merle Haggard. And she told him, she goes, Merle, she goes, why do you do this? It's obvious you don't need to. Why don't you just go home and enjoy your life? And he goes, honey, because this is what I do.
Right on.
I play music, so this is what Ricky Medlock does.
Well, thank God, man. Yeah, I was going to say, thank God you do. So you do.
Well, Ricky, one more time. The new single is called Never Run Out of Road.
Yes, sir.
You can get it over at rickymedlock.com. That's RickeyMedlocke. Make sure you spell it right. Ricky, man, this has been really, really fun, man. Thanks for joining us here on the Seth Williams Show.
Thank you for having me, guys, and come see us.
Absolutely will, man.
Yeah, man.
All right.
We're moving up. And I never run out of road. I've got good reason. And I never run out.
Do you want to watch the classic metal show all day long? Do you have a Roku? If your answers are yes and yes, then you need to get Wowza TV on your Roku. It's free to install and brings you the classic metal show on your TV 24/7. Just look up and install Wowza TV in the Roku streaming store, and you can enjoy the CMS all day and night right on your TV. Yes, folks, this includes the live editions of the CMS as well. Install Wowza TV now on your Roku and never be without the classic metal show again. Hail and kill.
That was cool, man.
Dude, that was a big interview.
Yeah, I had like more than I wanted to ask him, but there was stuff that I usually say, and I don't want to like upset the guy. I just love that era and that style of music, man. I just do.
Dude, I want to get him back. I had like 15 more questions. You know, I had all kinds of questions for him.
He had a set time that we had to, you know,
yeah, I mean, that's it. He has another interview in literally 4 minutes. So by the time he goes and gets a drink of water and takes a piss, he's got to be back. But, dude, very cool of – thank you. Let's throw it out there. Thank you, Jody, his publicist, for hooking us up with that. Cause
yeah, that was good.
That was very, very cool. And what a great guy, huh?
Yeah, man. And, you know – taking the time to talk to us is very cool. He seemed like a good down-to-earth dude. And look, he answered some of my usual questions without saying everything. You know, the 70s era, and I guarantee you the touring was off the hook back then.
Well, dude, they were one of the biggest, too.
Because of his subject matter, I didn't want to ask about the women hanging out the bus and all that kind of stuff. Because he's got this thing going on. But
dude, think about it. Leonard Skinner in the 70s.
Holy shit, dude. Blackfoot, too, man. Come on.
Blackfoot, too. Yeah. Oh.
And you know, I can only imagine. Again, that rock star life is something I want. I wish I had it back when I was. I want it now. I've wanted it every day since growing up. I want it 6 years from now. I still want it. You take both my legs, I want the rock star lifestyle. I'll stand up there on two prosthetics and rock the guitar if I had to. But yeah. I can't even imagine, again, playing an anthem like Freebird or something like that that's 10 minutes long. And after a concert, it's like 20 minutes long. Just standing up there with the smoke flying through the air, the lights going off, and just getting lost in your playing, man. That's got to be just super cool.
Dude, how cool is it that that another guy takes your song and it becomes their biggest song?
Yeah.
I mean, that's Kid Rock's biggest song by a lot.
Yeah.
Not by like, you know, it's like right there with Ball with the Bar or whatever. I mean, that's
big time.
Yeah. All Summer Long is by it's the one that even people that hate Kid Rock kind of will sit there and do. But are they thinking about Kid Rock or are they thinking about Leonard Skinner? Right. They're thinking about Leonard Skinner. You know, that was fun, dude. That was a lot of fun chatting with him, man.
Yeah.
So good.
Hey, that was cool.
Very good.
It was an experience, you know, talking to, like, there are certain people that are, like, just on a different level of music, and that guy's on a different level of music.
I didn't think
of... We talked to a lot of bands on the show, dude, but not guys like that.
No, not guys that have played and have sold 100 million records and played in front of 100 million people.
Right.
Think about those numbers. That's almost as many as Biden got votes.
Yeah. It's as many people as watch this show on a routine basis.
It's funny.
Guy's got more money in his wallet than I have in my bank account.
Yeah, I'd probably not argue that point either. I'm sure he's got more money than both of us combined. But yeah, that was fun, man. Ricky Medlock, good stuff.
Who are we getting on next week?
I don't know. I don't know. After that, it's like, who do I even bother to get on?
Gene Simmons on next week.
Yeah. I was just saying, short of James Hetfield, who am I going to get? You know, I don't think anybody's going to be excited if I get, you know, the guitar player from some new emo band or something.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to give a shit about the drummer of Papa Roach or whatever.
I would. I like, you know, okay, cool. But not as cool.
It'll still seem, it would still seem like a downgrade, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think no matter what, the next interview that we have, I've got to go with just a total unknown. Because anyway, that's known, that's going to feel like a downgrade.
Now, my question, when you do these pitches to get some of these people on, I know that they probably pitched you on this one. But do they ask you, like, how big is the show? Blah, blah, blah. How many listeners do you get?
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do.
Because, like, I don't like those kind of questions when I'm booking for – I do a lot of booking my couple of jobs, man. And when they start pushing on, like, numbers and stuff like that, like, don't ask me about numbers. People watch the damn show.
I hate that. I hate the question, but what I do is I overload them, and then they leave me alone. Because, you know, and not to turn it into a real, you know, the curtain pulled show, but when they ask me about numbers, I will pull all the stats, especially from CMS TV, which breaks it down by bits of data and everything else that's transferred. Yeah. I'm like, here you go. You want to figure out how many people we do? Here you go. We're doing 6.3 terabytes of programming per week. With a 2.3% cum per hour. You want to deal with that? Go right ahead.
Right.
I'm just telling you, you know, and a lot of it too, for me personally, a lot of these publicists have known me for 20 years.
Right.
So I don't get asked that as much as you might think. You know, a lot of them are very well aware of me. And, you know, for better or for worse, I do have a reputation, especially in the metal world.
Right.
So a lot of them know me and they don't even care what the numbers are. They know that if their guy says something interesting, it'll end up on the news sites. So
I got a guy that came to me today actually asking if he could maybe do a podcast and join your network. I said,
oh, yeah.
I said, we'll talk about it and see what happens. I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be something different. So.
Something different for my network? Or True Blue?
No, for your network.
Okay, cool. Hey, I'm always up for that. Dude, we just added a cool one. First show was actually today, actually. Oh, really? Yeah, the Rock and Shock Show.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me about
it. I love this show. For people that are into horror movies and heavy metal, he does a combination of, like, interviews, but he talks about horror movies and stuff. So if people, if you like horror movies and stuff, and you want to hear your favorite rock stars talking about, I don't know, Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever, this is your show.
That's cool. Yeah, I got it. The guy, this might be a little bit more political aiming.
It's okay with me.
But I think it would add a little different.
We don't have any real political show other than me and Neely on occasion on there, and me and you hear a lot. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I'm game. Well, I'd be game to give Chiselta a show.
Oh, God, please. Why would you do that to anybody?
Because that'll make a higher cum per hour of data use.
I got under his skin. I think I got under his skin a little bit today.
Why?
Because this kid that I work with at the radio station posted something about, could anybody care less about this eclipse thing, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it was just a normal comment that you put on Facebook or whatever, and just someone went after him. And he's trying to be funny and obviously failed as per usual. That's why he's not doing anything else anymore. But it was just, why waste the typing to go after some poor young guy who's making a comment on Facebook? Like, you don't even know the guy, Mike. You're just going after him because you're a dick. And I had to chime in and say, oh, yeah, this guy picking on some young kid for posting something on Facebook. Yet let's bring all the people together. Wait, he's the fucking problem. That's why we can't have people to come together, because Mike is the problem. No, wait, it's Trump's fault. Yeah. I mean, and then he's like, literally, I think he stalks my Facebook page to see, like, who's commenting and who I'm friends with so he can talk shit about Trump. That's all he does. And, like,
It's annoying. Please don't give him the time of day on a microphone.
Well, because part of the reason that he does that, though, is because you'll respond.
I'll do another podcast with somebody else to get more cum terabyte data. I won't sleep. Just don't give him a show to spew that nonsense.
Well, you know my stance on it. I don't necessarily align with Mike either, but you know, I just find I find his takes to be funny. Not in the haha comedian way, just in the ridiculous way, but well, it's like that thing I sent funny? You. It's like that thing I sent you yesterday, that clip where the leftist was spewing everything that Trump is going to fuck up the world with, and me and you were both like, "This is like a campaign speech."
I know. I didn't even know if it was a man or a woman that was talking.
I don't know. It was an it's Pat.
Yeah, it was definitely a Pat. But they were spewing all this stuff, all Trump's like promises on his website of stuff that he wants to get done when he's president again. And every single one, I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, that's good. That's a great idea. And like, it was like a 10-minute video of this person rattling off things that would be really great for the country.
And yeah.
How could you possibly want that as your president?
Yeah, it was absolutely ridiculous. And I'm watching. I'm like, okay, I'd like that.
Yeah.
He's going to close the border to the illegals.
Okay.
Cool.
He's not going to allow kids to be trans and chop off their private parts. Okay.
Okay, good.
All right.
He's going to lower the cost of inflation.
All right.
He's going to lower the cost of gas. He's going to, what was the other one? The other one was, he's going to bring back home drilling, and we're going to drill in the States instead of buying it from the Arabs.
Okay.
Terrible. It was like every single point was like, okay, now I'm going to be honest. I'll be as honest I can be. I wasn't aware of some of those promises.
Neither was I, but you know what? I am now, and they're all great.
They're all fantastic.
Like, that should be something that he plays at his campaign rallies.
He really should. He should open his campaign rallies with
this dumb fuck liberal, like, spewing all of his campaign promises that are absolutely great.
Yeah, he really should. It was totally, totally correct. Too good.
Yeah, I wish I had that to actually play it, but
do you have the text? I could tell. Let me see if I can't email it to myself. Hold on. Did I send it through text? I think I did.
Yeah, you sent it through text.
Oh, there's this guy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. I'm assuming it's a guy, right? I don't know.
I think it might be.
I'm not trying to be mean.
Well, I mean, you can't. It's a they them.
It absolutely is a they them.
Or a zzer or whatever the fuck we're supposed to say. What are we supposed to say?
I don't know. I got an email from somebody the other day who put their fucking pronouns next to their name. I was like, please don't do this to me. Please don't ever send me another email like that.
I had a message on Facebook that I was disrespectful because my pronouns are fucking you. And I was told that that's disrespectful. I was like, yeah, okay, good. Thanks for paying attention.
Right.
All right, let's see. I don't owe anybody any, you know, I love that thought that I owe somebody something.
I don't owe you any shit,
including respect. I don't owe you that.
Yeah. I don't even know you. You want me to come with that? I'm not doing a whole pronoun game.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I just will not do it. I don't care if they do make it a law. I'm not doing it. Fuck off.
Some place you can go to jail over that.
Speed, too. And that's against the law.
There it is.
There's that guy.
She? I think it's she. Look at the glass.
You think it's a she?
I don't know
what it is, but all right, here's what Zzerz has to say. Check this out. Tell me if this doesn't look, as you guys are well aware, Seth's easy. Seth is going to vote for Trump no matter what. I'm still trying to be convinced. This guy went a long way to convince me.
Helping you. Yeah.
And here are the first 15 promises he has made if he is reelected. You may have heard of Project 2025, but this is from Agenda 47. And you can read all of these on his website.
Good.
First, he promises that he will carry out the largest domestic deportation operation in history.
Sweet. Awesome.
That's supposed to be a negative.
That's supposed to be a negative? That is a positive.
That is one for Trump.
Yep.
Will also ask for the death sentence for anyone convicted of human trafficking.
Two for Trump.
How could you not want that?
Why would you not?
What would you want instead?
This person does not want the death penalty for people trafficking human beings.
Yeah, what would you want? That's my question. I would love to sit down with this thing and say, what would you want instead?
What would you prefer?
You know, it's like, what the hell? All right, two to zero for Trump.
Brian's is not fuckable. That's what that is.
Well, not wrong either. All right, here we go. Here's number three.
He will close the Department of Education and return all education standards to the states to decide.
Okay. So in other words, the people in the community can actually have some say on how their kids are taught.
Considering we are a republic, that's kind of the way that this whole country is supposed to work. Thank you, though.
3-0 Trump.
3-0 Trump.
He will put prayer back into school, and he will criminalize any race-based advantage programs.
4 for Trump and 5 for Trump.
We're getting rid of DEI?
Yes.
Another vote for Trump. You know what? I'm going to go 4-0-1, because I don't care either way about prayer in school.
Like,
you know, I don't think Muslims should have to pray to Jesus or anything.
Maybe not, but you know what? This country's lost morals along the way. Maybe a little guidance wouldn't be bad,
but I'm just going 4-0-1. I'm not saying no. I'm saying
that's fine.
I'm saying I'm not going to vote for him on that one. So 4-0-1 so far, but none for Biden yet. All right, here we go.
He will end the Affordable Care Act.
5.
Okay.
He will ban gender-affirming care for adults and children, and he will ban any federal dollars from going towards gender-affirming care.
As he should. Yeah. As he should, because we shouldn't be funding choices.
Why should I be paying for your decision to change your gender, you tool?
Why would I have to pay for your choice?
That would be 6.
6-0.
6-0-1.
6-0-1.
And by the way, there's nothing affordable about the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, I agree with that too. All right, 6-0-1. Here we go.
Which means anyone with government-provided health care will no longer be able to access gender-affirming care except for Viagra and Cialis. Those will still be available.
7-0. Happy
7,
about that.
Yeah. You know, of course. Rick. 215 at the bar is a no. Good point, Rick. Good point. All right, here we go. 7-0-1.
He will propose a constitutional amendment that gives a term limit to Congress.
8.
Why don't you want a term limit for Congress?
It should be a term limit for all these people, no doubt. Some of these people are lifers and destroying our country.
Why do you want a Congress person that's been in Washington for 40 years, does not live in their community, hasn't lived in their community, doesn't know what their community people are supposed to be represented with?
Brian Kramer is pretty funny.
Oh my God. All right, here we go. 8-0-1.
He will deploy the Department of Justice to investigate the Biden crime family and any of his adversaries or political rivals.
9.
9-0-1. Good Lord. All right, here we go.
He will immediately pardon all of the January 6thers, and he will create a task force to investigate anyone who arrested, charged, or imprisoned a January 6er.
10-0-1.
10-0-1.
Isn't it sad that the only one that we're questioning is prayer back in school?
Prayer in school is the only one that we're questioning.
And I'm all for it, but...
Yeah, well, I'm just saying...
I get your theory. Yeah. I understand.
Why would you not want an investigation into arrests that you cannot argue were not at least questionable?
And then people that have been sitting, I thought we had a right to a speedy trial in this country. People have been sitting there for years.
But I'm saying what they did versus other crimes to be getting the sentences, there is some questionality to.
Of course.
To the January 6th.
When you had people burning down the streets of Minneapolis, including police stations, turning over cars, shooting guns, people died. And I think they got a penalty of like $300 for burning down a Wendy's.
How about when you have congressmen pulling fire alarms so that they can't have a vote?
Right.
How is that any different than moving a lectern in fucking the White House?
Jesus.
Right, so what are we at? 10-0-1?
Yeah.
10-0-1. Here we go.
He will increase the penalties for underage criminal offenders.
11-0-1. Do you not see? I think I found this on Twitter. Does this fucking fool not see Twitter every day or another robbery?
And like, what's great about this, if you look at the comments underneath this, he, her, him, z's, or whatever it is, the comments are all, that sounds really great. Thank you for changing my mind.
This is so bad. All right, so we're at 11-0-1.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Strengthen immunity for police officers.
12-0-1. Why would you not want that? Do you want the cops to do their job or not? If you want the cops to do their job, they got to have some leeway to do it. They can't be worried about going to jail because they give you a ticket.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out if that's a guy, though.
I have
no
idea.
That angle looks like a dude.
Yeah, like a young dude, like a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It's broken, whatever it is. 12-0-1?
12-0-1.
12-0-1.
And deploy the National Guard to patrol woke cities.
Okay, I'm going to go to the 12-0-2 on this. And here's why. Not that I don't want woke cities to be fucking broke apart. I do. But I don't think that you can... I don't feel comfortable saying, let's target a belief system and then over police it.
Look, as much as I would want it to happen, no, I don't think you can. I mean, people have the right to have their beliefs, whether they're stupid or not.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can. I mean,
so are we going with a full Biden vote on that, or no, just impartial?
Impartial, because I still don't want people shitting on the streets and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think drug use in the middle.
That's true.
Some of these parks, if they tried in like Seattle and crap like that, are any good? No, I mean, you need to patrol that kind of stuff. But I would put it.
But I'd like to see him also patrol in Flint, Michigan, and getting it so that you don't have to be Muslim to drive through it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's also, I don't think that's not a red city.
No, it's not. But it's not woke either.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I want it to be universal. If a city is having a problem,
it needs to be.
I want the National Guard fixing it. If the cops can't,
I'm on
12-0-2. All right, here we go.
On day one, he will reassess our participation in NATO.
Oh, wait a minute.
And says that every European country needs to pay the United States for protection.
13 and 14.
13 and 14. Oh, yeah, 14-0-2 at this point.
14-0-2. Get out of NATO. And why do we always got to take the bill for everybody else's fucking problems?
Amen.
I don't give two shits about the Ukraine. If they want to borrow something from us, I'd happily loan it to them with interest. Lots of interest. 20%. Loan shark them. All right. So what are we at? 14-0-2. All right. 14-0-2. Here we go.
14 for Trump. None for Biden. Two are
undecideds.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
He will also restore the wonderful travel ban for Muslims coming to America.
I want to say 15, but
I would put that in like the undecided.
Yeah,
you have to, despite whether you want to be considered a racist or not, you have to start, whether it's Mexican, Muslim, Chinese. You have to find out why people are coming to this country.
Well, yeah, but I say for everybody. Why not even Swedish people?
Of course, white people too.
Anybody, if you're anybody coming that's not country, from here,
you gotta wonder why they're here.
Yeah,
but I put that in like a 14-0-3.
14-0-3. It's fucking funny. All right, 14-0-3.
Yeah.
Here we go.
He will build freedom cities. This is 10 new cities built on federal land. He will award them to areas with the best development proposals, and he will prioritize moving young families to these freedom cities.
All right, I'm against that one.
I didn't really understand it.
It's the answer. I understand why Trump's throwing this out there, but it's dumb.
What was it?
He's right now. There's that talk about the woke cities.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the cities that are controlled by technology and all that shit, the robot cities and everything.
Yeah.
Trump threw in his plan that he's going to do 10 freedom cities that are void of all this shit. No wokeness, no robot technology, you know.
See, I kind of like that. I like that idea.
I don't like it as a mandate from a president.
Why? You don't have to move there.
No, I understand that, but do you have to behave that way if you go there?
Yes.
I don't like that. See, I don't like that.
You don't have to go if you don't want to go. Don't go.
I don't like the idea that I have to park my smart car outside the city limits or my regular car.
If you want to put that or whatever, Biden, go ahead. I still
think I'm giving this one to Biden. I'm going 15-1-2 okay. Or 3. 15-1-3. You're at what? 16-0-4.
I'm at 15-0-4.
15-0-4. I'm at 16-1-3. All right, here we go.
He will kill all e-vehicles and e-vehicle legislation, seeking to replace that with the development of a flying car. He believes that we could create a car that vertically takes off.
Well, there's a lot wrong with this one. First of all, I've never heard Trump say this. Have you?
I have not.
I've not heard that.
There are actually cab companies in some cities that are testing these cars out where they actually have like propellers and shit that actually will fly. I mean,
we have vehicles like helicopters that lift straight up vertically. And then
yeah, but I'm saying like they're actually like passenger vehicles.
No, I get that. But this guy's trying to make it sound like it's an impossibility that a vehicle could lift straight up vertically and then fly. Right.
No, I think that's...
We already have that.
I would... And what's wrong with if we do that? I mean, that's technology. That's advancing our... I always wanted a Jetsons car when I was 8, yeah. So now I can actually get one. I'm all for it. Yeah. I'm at 17-0-4.
So I guess that makes me 16-1-3. But with an asterisk now, because I don't believe that Trump ever said this.
I never heard it. I never heard it.
I've never heard this before. I'm not saying he didn't, but I've never heard it. All right, here we go.
He will remove all of the limits on American natural gas exports and drill, baby, drill for oil domestically.
Hell yeah.
That's another
18-0-4 for me.
17-1-3. Here we go.
He will impose a tariff of up to 60% on Chinese imports.
I'm going to give that one to Biden because I want 100%.
I'm in 19. That's fine.
No, I'm in it. I'm in with that one too. 18.
19 for me.
18-1-3 for me.
19-0-4.
All right, here we go.
He'll extend the 2017 tax cuts and drop the corporate tax rate from 21% to 15%.
Absolutely for that.
Fine with that. I mean, I want to work for a company that makes money because, you know what? If they make money, then I make money.
I prefer having a job than not having a job.
Yeah, and then if they, you know, are making money, then maybe the prices go down a little bit.
And look at the smug, punchable face after saying that one.
Yeah.
This guy that's never going to generate a dollar in his life.
Or have sex.
Yeah. He's having sex with his hand.
Well, so am I, but yeah, it's fine. I'm at 20. 20? Am I at 20?
20-0-4.
Four for me.
So I'm at 20. I'm at 19-1-3.
Yeah.
He will push Congress to pass legislation that would give every American the right to concealed carry.
Yeah, that puts me to 20.
Anywhere at any time.
Yes.
He will revoke any gun restrictions or legislation that seeks to inhibit people's ability to own guns that's been passed in the last several years.
21.
Hey, I'm a 22 on four.
He will demand that Europe pay back all the money we gave Ukraine, and then he will use all of that money to recruit for the American military.
Yes.
Yeah. 23 on four.
Could we take a little of that money and take some of the homeless vets off the street, please?
Yes.
Please. All right. What are you at?
21, 0, and 4.
So I'm at 21 and 3. All right, here we go.
And he will take billions and billions of dollars from private university endowments by taxing, fining, and suing the universities. He specifically names Harvard in this one. And then he will use that money to create the American Academy. It is a free online college that will be free of wokeness that he will force employers to recognize as a bachelor's degree equivalent.
Gee, getting the people smarter.
Without the woke agenda.
The bills, or without having to say, we're just going to bail you out of your responsibilities.
I missed one. I'm at 23-0-4 now.
Okay, so I'm at 22-1-3.
Yes.
All right. This guy's not doing a good sell job here.
No.
So that's agenda 47.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Again, Trump should be using that shit as an absolute ad campaign. That should be running 24/7 on every channel he can get it on.
He should. I mean, that literally should be every. That should be the video that plays right before he goes on stage.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Unbelievable.
If I was him, I'd be having that video played at every polling place when the election happens. As you're walking in, that's what you see.
I had to look to see if it was a joke.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, is this somebody that's pretending to be like a Biden guy or a girl or whatever?
But it's not. It doesn't appear to be. It appears to be some woke lunatic's thoughts. And it's like every point is wrong. Every point.
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I finished with 24-0-4.
I had 23-1-3, but the one is even questionable. The one was a questionable. It wasn't like a home run. It was just I don't necessarily want regulation of this.
But again, I think you can look at it in different ways because of the regulation. What one did you not like? The one you didn't like?
The flying.
No, you said the Freedom Cities.
Yeah, the Freedom Cities. Yeah. I don't like regulating the environment of a city.
I tend to agree with you, but I also, I don't want to walk down the streets of Cleveland and see the mess that it is. I'd rather live in a city.
Well, I agree. I agree with that. But
my
but
agenda and I feel safe in. Okay, I feel safer with people walking down the streets that look like you and with AR strapped to their backs than I would walking down the streets of Cleveland.
But here's the other side of the knife on that. Adolf Hitler wanted to have streets with no Jews on them.
I agree.
That's where it's like, do we really want to enact something so close to the Hitler doctrine? And I just don't think so. I think the people have to be responsible for their own city and putting the pressure on those that don't act appropriately in their own city. I don't think it can be legislated by the government.
I don't disagree with you, but at the same time, you know, it's just like anywhere else. If I want to live in New York, which is a liberal hub of fuck, I can. But if I don't, then I can go live in the middle of Nebraska somewhere where it's more my speed. And that's kind of what you have in this country is the right to choose where you live and everything else.
Yeah.
If you don't want to live in left-leaning liberal California, then you can go to Columbus, or you can go to Columbus a little bit.
But think about Cleveland. Think about Cleveland for a minute. What if you weren't allowed
to go to Cleveland because you believe the way you believe.
Right. No, and that's the other side of the coin that I agree with you on. But,
and that's why I'm – and all I'm saying – I'm not saying I don't want those cities. I'm saying I don't want the government to dictate those cities.
I agree.
Because eventually you're going to get like we have now, and you're going to get every red city has to be put off the map.
Yeah. We had a guy on the other day who I thought had a great idea. He wants to build a freedom statue.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to put it in the Pacific. So we have bookends of the Statue of Liberty and then this freedom statue.
Okay.
And I think that might be kind of cool. But then I saw something very interesting on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I wish I had it, but I don't. It's a picture of Lucifer, the devil.
Oh, good.
Painted in like 1793.
Okay.
Arms sticking up in the air. Face looks exactly like the Statue of Liberty.
That could be.
Conspiracies aplenty, my friend.
There always are. Well, there we go. What a show today, huh?
It was a hell of a show. I want to thank you. I want to thank the Eclipse.
Yes.
Fantastic. It was 4 minutes.
Let's thank the WWE.
Thanks to WWE. That was fantastic. And, of course, we got to thank Ricky Medlock for coming on.
Of course.
That was really, really cool, fun stuff. Check it out. If you haven't, if you missed it, you can see it again.
Yeah, you can see it in the replay here when it's available. But, yeah, good stuff.
And then Wednesday, what do we got? Tony Masasha will be joining us.
Yeah, Tony, we might have a guest. We might not. I'm not sure yet. I have not gotten enough. Gotten a yes on that one that I told you about. So.
Oh, okay. And so we'll have some stuff, though. It'll be fun, as usual. Yeah. So enjoy your Tuesday. God willing, we'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Thanks, for everybody, for watching.
See you, folks.
See ya.
The Classic Metal Show now has all of our videos on Spotify. Simply look up and subscribe to the CMS Network on Spotify, and you'll get the audio and video podcasts each day from the Classic Metal Show. It's never been easier to listen to Mealy and Chris, so simply open Spotify, subscribe to the CMS Network, and enjoy the Classic Metal Show every single day. Hail and kill.